Make sure that you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
These gems were symbolic of Israel itself being carried on the high priest's heart as he ministered and served. So Jesus, our high priest, carries his people as precious jewels to him as he serves in the real sanctuary of which the Old Testament Holy of Holies was merely a type.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Revelation.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. So I'm sure you recall last time we started to get our up-close view of the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Remember, Jesus always comes with his church, and his final appearing in glory will unveil at the same time the glory that's now hidden in us, his people, hidden beneath all of the weakness and sufferings and sin of this age. So John is carried by the Holy Spirit to this great high mountain where he gets to see something that knocks his socks off. Well, maybe his sandals off. It's the holy city of Jerusalem, and she's coming down out of heaven from God, shining with his glory like a veritable jewel box made of jewels. And he sees that she has a high wall surrounding her, peace, and angelic guards in all her gates, and that above the gates, like in Ezekiel, are the names of the 12 tribes, but that under each gate's foundation, one of the names of the Lamb's 12 apostles. Where is this written? The most important question to keep you in the city, built on the foundation of what the apostles taught, the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. Continuing then, a reading from Revelation, the 21st chapter, beginning at the 15th verse. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies four square, its length the same as its width, and he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall, 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Revelation 21, verses 15 through 21. Let us pray. Grant, we beg you, Almighty God, to us and to your whole church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word, as becomes it, may not be bound, but a free course and be preached and taught to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you and in the confession of your name abide to our end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Ready to ponder today's passage? Let's get to it. Verse 15. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. We've encountered this measuring motif before. You no doubt recall back in chapter 11, where John himself was told to measure the temple of God and the altar and worshipers, but not the outer court. But here, the angel conveying the vision to John apparently does the measuring of the city, its gates and its walls. The rod appears to be of gold because this is the gold standard of heaven, and the angel won't be getting the number wrong, though it will boggle the mind, as we learned. Verse 16, the city lies four square, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. As I said at the end of the last show, that's a crazy size. I mean, if you translated it to our English measures, that's 1,380 miles. And that's both the length and the breadth and the height of the city. So the picture is of overwhelming hugeness. Think like bigger than the drive from New York City to Kansas City. And that's just one side. But the key, aside from thinking huge, is to focus on the number. 12,000 is made up of 12 times 10 times 10. That's the direction that the Venerable Bede headed in the 8th century. Listen, the 12,000 stadia means that he looked upon the church in her faith and works and made her to be perfect. For the perfection of the four cardinal virtues is uplifted by faith in the Holy Trinity, and so by the number 12, the dignity of the church is indicated. Also, of great significance is that this makes the city be a perfect cube. John and his readers would have immediately thought of 1 Kings 6, verse 20. The inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 20 cubits high. And he overlaid it with pure gold. He also overlaid an altar of cedar. That is the description of the Holy of Holies in Solomon's temple. But here, that picture is writ incredibly large. Verse 17. He also measured the wall, 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. This seems truly odd to have the height of the city be 12,000 stadia and the wall rise only to 144 cubits. That would translate to being about 216 feet high. But since we've already been told that the city is a cube, I take it that we're supposed to read this as the measure not of the wall's height, but of its thickness. There are 144 cubits from one end to the other in the thickness of the wall, 216 solid feet of protection. But again, while that's suggestive, what really counts is the number, which is playing with the 12s again. Inside these walls, you find God's 144,000, which we met back in Revelation 7 as a symbolic number, indicating the totality of his elect people. The comment about the angel's measure being the same as human measure might suggest that when we come face to face with the holy angels, I don't know, the spirits that they are will be about our size, given that the cubit anciently was the measure from the elbow to the hand or to the fingertip. Verse 18. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, like clear glass. Now, the fathers let their imaginations run riot through the dreamlike depiction of the city. The wall itself was built of the precious stone jasper. What does that indicate? Well, here's what Apringius of Beja wrote about it in the 6th century in what we call today Spain. He said, "Jasper glimmers with a faint greenness, and so shows the modest face of virginity. This is so that you might understand that our Lord Jesus Christ is joined to every building of the city, and that the body taken from the flesh of the Virgin rises up for the protection of the whole wall." And the city being pure gold, and yet somehow clear as glass? Well, Primasius, 6th century, says, he uses a strange analogy, so that in all metaphors he might confer a unique dignity upon the one true stone which is Christ, and so teach that all things serve him. For who does not know that gold is much different from glass, and differs from it also in color? But however they parse the details, the fathers drive the whole of the image back to Jesus, who is indeed the cornerstone of this city. Verse 19. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. As I mentioned last time, there is a huge overlap here with the stones that showed up on the high priest's breastpiece. These gems were symbolic of Israel itself being carried on the high priest's heart as he ministered and served. So Jesus, our high priest, carries his people as precious jewels to him as he serves in the real sanctuary of which the Old Testament Holy of Holies was merely a type. And that real sanctuary is where he presents his church to the Father, dressed as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 19 continues, the first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald. Verse 20, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. So the only gems not mentioned from the high priest's plate are sardius, carbuncle, and diamond. See Exodus 39, verses 10 to 13. The ones added in are chrysolite, carnelian, and chrysoprase. But fully three out of four of the gems mentioned are identical. The fathers, again, have a tendency to run through the various colors of the gemstones to assign their meaning, almost always linking it back to Christ or to one or the other of the 12 apostles. I'll spare you their speculations. But I will point out that 17th century Lutheran teacher Johann Gerhardt supports the idea of linking the gems to the apostles, but in this way. These gems signify the apostolic doctrine, which is more precious than all gems. For by it, men are invited into this city. Now that, I think, is quite solid and not speculative at all. Verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. Now, I had always heard that as one gate being constructed from one pearl each, so I was particularly fascinated when I read Apringius of Beja on this one. It is one thing to speak of the pearls, it is another to speak of the one pearl from which they come. For when it speaks of each pearl, it is shown that in each pearl, one pearl is shining forth, and that one pearl is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's obviously running back to Jesus' parable in Matthew 13, right? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Jesus is that pearl of great price, to quote the King James. And so we enter into the city through him. And of all the gemstones, the pearls can only be harvested by killing a living creature, the oyster. So from out of the oyster's death comes this gem, such a beautiful picture of the passion of Christ, being that through which we gain entrance into his holy city and are thus blessed to walk on those streets of pure yet transparent gold. Right there's where we're going to call our halt for today, people loved by God. Next time, we'll wrap up chapter 21 with learning that the city has no temple, because as a whole, it resides in the Almighty and the Lamb. Oh, and it doesn't need any other light to shine down on it, not from sun, not from moon, not star or lamp, because God's glory gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. And we'll hear how nations will walk in this light and how kings, the mighty ones of the earth, will bring their glory into it. We'll learn that the gates of the city never have to be shut, and how night itself will be a thing of the past. Lastly, how nothing gets into the city that is unclean, that is unwashed, think baptism, or any who live by Satan's lies, but only those found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Till next time, my friends, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.